The heroin crisis in America dominated many of the town meetings in the lead up to the New Hampshire primary. A tidal wave of death was how one senator referred to it this week, affecting every part of the country. Yesterday, the director of National Drug Control Policy announced an increase of nearly $1.1 billion for prevention and treatment in combating the prescription opioid and heroin use epidemic. 23% of people who take prescription opioids, it's estimated, go on to an addiction that leads to heroin. Mark Kleiman is professor of public policy and director of the Crime Reduction and Justice Initiative at New York University's Marin Institute, as well as editor of the Journal of Drug Policy Analysis. Kleiman says balancing pain management and addiction is a huge medical challenge that money alone won't solve.
The notion that there's a solution sitting out there if we just had the resources for it, I think is probably not right. Let me give an example of the kind of things that I think we ought to be doing right now. There's a drug called LAM, which is a chemical relative of methadone, that was on the market for a few years as a opiate maintenance drug, and was taken off it because it couldn't penetrate the clinic system and because the methadone industry fought it very hard, and the manufacturer essentially took it off the market. We now understand what the side effect problem was that led to that, easily fixable, and it would be great if people didn't have to go to a methadone clinic every day to get a long-acting opiate substitute. But we have no mechanism for getting that drug back on the market. You'd have to wait for some manufacturer to decide, yes, it's worth the effort to get the regulatory approval and get it on the market. There's nobody in the government with the authority to say, look, we need this medicine on the market. We're going to do the work to get it through the FDA process. We're going to put it on the market. So part of what we're running into here is a drug approval and regulatory process that doesn't respond well to this kind of crisis.
Here's a comment from one of our listeners who just called us out of the blue and said, I've been on again, off again heroin addict, and I'm currently using but functioning, meaning that I have a full-time job, going to school, I really want to get clean, nobody really knows, and I just don't feel like I have the right resources to get the help that I'm looking for. Now, is she committing a crime? Is she in a public health problem? Is she having a behavioral disorder of some kind? Where does she fit in all this?
Well, whether she's committing a crime or not depends on the laws we pass. It's now my view that the laws forbidding people to have drugs, you know, for non-medical use that they're just going to use themselves are probably a bad idea. So I think we'd be better off with something more along the lines of the Portuguese system, where there's some coercive attention to people with drug problems, but not criminal treatment of mere possession. So that's merely a question of legal definition.
One of the ironies is, as well, regulatory issues and drug approval issues impede what might be a market force process to address this issue more quickly. Meanwhile, illegal heroin producers are taking advantage of the fact that opiates are gateway drugs, and they're producing heroin at cheaper costs with additives that enhance the effect and making it much more available to people who come off their prescription opiates and go immediately to heroin. They're seeing the market opportunity and moving very, very quickly.
And it's a huge policy headache. If you don't crack down on the pill mills, we're going to wind up with more people addicted to the prescription opiates. And when their habit gets out of their financial range, they're going to trade down to heroin. If we do crack down on the pill mills, the people who can't get the pills anymore will immediately go looking for a heroin dealer, and the heroin dealers will immediately come looking for them. So it's a kind of pay me now or pay me later situation. But the thing I would attack first is the Narcotic Addict Treatment Act, which restricts methadone and LAM, which is the relative of methadone, to the clinic system. Almost any other drug, you can get a prescription from your physician. So I think if we made the substitutes more available, we could probably make some progress on the issue and hope that over time people will learn about the dangers. I mean, an interesting thing about the current wave of opiate problems is that it almost doesn't exist in the areas that were heavy heroin areas 40 years ago.
Wow.
Because people there know about that stuff. So this is hitting primarily white, primarily suburban and rural communities very hard. and inner-city black neighborhoods are largely unaffected by it. There'll be some social learning, but it's a painful process.
Do you think that the United States is going through a period where a huge component of the population is experiencing what, say, Russia experienced in the 1980s, where the death rate actually increased and the population shrank because of an extraordinarily dim outlook on the future regarding almost everyone in Russia?
That's certainly the obvious comparison, and in particular in Russia, it was middle-aged men who died like flies. Numerically, the problem here is not nearly as bad. I mean, there you could sort of see it in the newspaper. Here you need statistical analysis for it. But yeah, I mean, that's the direction we're going in. That's something we should be deeply worried about. And I don't think it's unconnected with the fact that some of those people are voting for Donald Trump. The level of desperation, I think, has been underestimated.
Mark Kleiman is professor of public policy and director of the Crime Reduction and Justice Initiative at New York University's Marin Institute, as well as editor of the Journal of Drug Policy Analysis. Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.